My very first car was a 1989 Nissan Maxima. The thing had a lot of miles on it, a little bit of rust, and the best part of a car, a 5-speed manual transmission. So I learned to drive on a stick, and those first few months of learning to drive that car were an adventure. If you would have been in the car with me, believe me, every time we shifted, you would have known it because you would have felt it. And that's similar to how we measure spiritual growth in our lives. You know, there's lots of ways to measure growth. When you're growing, you can measure how much taller you're getting or how much more you weigh by the weight and the number on the scale. Or you can measure athletic performance by how much you can lift or how high you can jump or how fast you can run. Financial performance can be measured by how much a portfolio grows. But how do you measure spiritual growth? It's really challenging to think about how we measure something like that. But there are certain marks, certain indicators, we can call them shifts, that when those things happen in our lives, it's a sign that we're growing spiritually. And there are 5 of them. So welcome to this series where we're going to be talking about the 5 shifts to spiritual maturity. And just like if you were riding in a car with me and I was driving a manual transmission and we shifted gears and you felt it, you can look for these in your lives. And when you feel these shifts or notice them, it's a sign that God's Holy Spirit is at work in your life and that you are growing spiritually. The first shift that we come to is following Jesus completely. Now, that sounds like a big shift, not just a little shift, but like a major shift. But just like getting out of first gear is a big deal, that's kind of how you get started in driving. So this one is a really important step in our spiritual journey. But actually, following Jesus completely has in its own self a progression, a journey of what that looks like to follow Jesus completely. It's actually a lifelong journey. And there's a great story of some of Jesus' very first disciples and how they went through the process of beginning to follow Jesus completely that will help to instruct us on how we can do the same. So I want to invite you to join me in Luke chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Luke, and we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 5. As you're turning there, Luke is the author of the 3rd gospel that we find in the New Testament. And Luke is somebody who thoroughly investigated all of the claims of Jesus. So when he writes this biography, it is from all these in-depth interviews that he conducted with people who were there and who were around Jesus. And he puts together an incredibly detailed account for us. And the detail of this account is actually really helpful for us because we see from these details how Peter and the rest of the disciples went from really not following Jesus at all to following him completely. This whole story begins with Peter letting Jesus borrow his boat. That's the first step of following Jesus. Letting Jesus borrow our boat. Here's the story, verse 1. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. That is also the Sea of Galilee. The people who were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Okay, so where Jesus is he's by the Sea of Galilee. That's in the northern part of Israel. Jesus grew up in that region, so he was from that area. People probably knew who he was. He was about 30 years old when he begins his public teaching ministry. And Jesus is walking around the Sea of Galilee, stopped there, and he's giving some instruction about God's word. And people are captivated by what Jesus has to say. They have never heard teaching like this. And they maybe knew who he was, but the insight, because this was God's word in the flesh. And so the depth of insight and the way he's describing our Heavenly Father, this was unlike anything people had ever heard. And you can imagine this crowd starts to grow rather quickly at this amazing teaching. And so because the crowd is gathering, Jesus wants a little bit more space so he can make sure everybody can hear him. And so he asks if he can use the boat of Simon Peter. And the reason he's wanting to use the boat is just kind of get away from shore a little bit. That way his voice can echo off the water and everybody can hear him. And so you can imagine Jesus looking around and saying, hey, whose boat is this, knowing full well who owns the boat. And Simon Peter was sitting there on the shore. He's cleaning his net. Fishermen in this day, they fished most of the evening and into the night. And then in the morning, they would dry out their nets. And then after everything was dried out, then they would go home for the day. So he's wrapping up his day and he's sitting there on the shore cleaning his net. And Jesus is teaching and Jesus says, "Can I borrow your boat?" Now for Peter, this is a relatively minor inconvenience. I mean, he's not using his boat right now. So sure, why not? You know, "Jesus, you can use my boat." And, you know, maybe Peter thought what Jesus was saying was interesting. So he's going to hear maybe a little bit more of what Jesus had to say. And then once he was done with his teaching, Peter would be done cleaning up his nets and then he could go home for the day. So a small step of inconvenience. But it still was a step that he still trusted Jesus. I mean, again, he probably knew who he was. And so there was some credibility of letting this guy use his boat. And if you're a boat owner, you don't let just anybody use your boat. In fact, for some of you, if you own a boat, Jesus is the only person that you would lend your boat to. So Peter trusted him enough with the boat, but it's not a huge step of faith. And so for many of us, that step of borrowing our boat to Jesus, lending our boat to Jesus, it's like doing what Peter did. It's letting Jesus' word speak to us. It's taking time to hear what Jesus has to say. Maybe a small inconvenience of time, giving 10 or 20 minutes or 30 minutes in a morning to read the text of Jesus or God's word and hear what God has to say about something. Maybe it's giving up an hour on a Sunday morning to go to church service and to spend 30 of those minutes listening to a message of what God's word has to say to us. It may be a relatively minor inconvenience. It still requires some level of trust. You have to be willing to give Jesus your time. But it's not full commitment yet. It's not following Jesus completely, but you are listening to what he's saying. And so Peter, like many of us, let Jesus borrow his boat. And that leads to then the next step that happens. Peter doing something because Jesus said so. We'll pick up the story in verse 4. "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" Let me just pause here. Peter is a professional fisherman. This is what this guy does for a living. Jesus was a carpenter. He was a stonemason. He was a rabbi. He's a teacher. I mean, he was somebody who, like, this was not his lane. And you could almost imagine Peter kind of being like, "Dude, I'm the guy who fishes. Like, I just got done fishing. There are no fish. Like, we tried all night. We had no success. What are you saying here?" I think sometimes that's how many of us can view Jesus. You know, initially we're like, "Hey, listen, Jesus, maybe you have something to say to me about my mental health or about some relationships or about my personal faith, you know, my private faith. Okay, but like when it comes to how to handle my career, like stay in your lane. Or when it comes to cultural engagement, Jesus wants you to stay in your lane. Or when it comes to, you know, to dealing with, you know, certain relationships that I have, Jesus, like, what do you know about that?" It's almost like we want to put Jesus in a faith box and keep him there. But because Peter had listened to Jesus, he had let him borrow his boat, heard him say some things that were compelling and interesting and insightful, Peter is now going to take a bigger step of faith, a bigger step in trusting Jesus. And so here's what happens. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Like, he fishes like I fish. Like, we didn't catch a thing. And he says this, "But because you say so, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." So to Peter was not interested in doing what Jesus said to do. In fact, he was pretty convinced it was not going to work. "This is not how we fish. But because you say so, Jesus, I'm willing to do it." That's the next step in following Jesus completely, is when we choose to do something that we don't think is the right thing to do, that we wouldn't normally do, that we've never done before, but we're now going to do it differently because Jesus says so. So Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That is not how we normally do life. Normally, what we do is we talk about people who persecute us. that we fight back against people who persecute us, that we look at people who are making life difficult for us and we want to gossip about them or tear them down or find a way to get even. That's what we normally do. And Jesus says, that's not the way of my kingdom. And when you and I have these moments where we go, okay, I don't even like this person, but I'm going to start praying for them. The only reason we're doing that is because Jesus says so. And when you have that little moment in your life that you're praying for the boss that you're really grumpy about, or you're praying for your ex, or you're praying for the person who cut you off in traffic even though you're really upset, it's a shift that something's happening in your life because you're following Jesus. There's a guy I know who had came to faith in a pretty dramatic way. He had made a mess of his life, and Jesus showed up at the 11th hour, and it was just an incredible and dramatic story of him coming to faith in Jesus. And so I met with him for several times to help him grow in his faith relationship with Jesus. We read Bible together and talked about Jesus, talked about following him. And I remember the second time I met him for coffee, I came in, I hadn't seen him for a couple days, and I sat down with my cup of coffee. I was like, hey, so how's your week been? And he looked at me, very matter of fact, and he said, well, I sent 11 letters to all of my family members confessing everything that I did and asking for their forgiveness. And I looked at him, I said, you did what? And he told me again, just like super matter of fact. And I said, what would prompt you to do that? And he looked at me and he goes, well, we've been reading about Jesus, and Jesus says that if you wrong people, you need to make it right with them. And so that's what I did. And it was just such a plain spoken matter of fact, like, I did this because Jesus said so. And I tell you, in that moment there in the middle of this coffee shop, I was equal parts impressed at his faith and obedience in Jesus and convicted. Because I've been following Jesus for a lot longer than this guy has. And I'm thinking, how often have I had that kind of a response? That I just did something without even really thinking twice about it just because Jesus said so. See, that's a shift. That's a step that we're growing in our faith relationship with Jesus. And when we do, it leads to the third step, and it happened with Peter. It brings us to a place of being broken. Here's what happens next in the story. Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. So they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Can you see this in your mind? These two little fishing boats in the Sea of Galilee loaded up with these fish so tall that the boats are beginning to sink in the water. What an incredible scene. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Peter's response is very similar to other responses that we see of people throughout the Bible when they come face to face with the glory and the power and the majesty of God. They're humbled and they're broken. There's a guy in the Old Testament. He was a prophet. His name was Isaiah. He saw God's glory, actually his vision. He just saw like the trail end of God's robe in the temple. And he was so awestruck by this that he calls out, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips." In the holiness of God, he saw the contrast of who he was and it broke him. Peter is in the same way. And when you and I have moments of following Jesus and we start to do things because Jesus says to do them, we start to realize how his way of living is so much better than our way of living, and it breaks us. It humbles us. It causes us to have these moments where we think to ourselves, how in the world can I continue to live this way? Like, I don't have the strength, I don't have the power, I don't have the wisdom, I can't possibly do what Jesus is asking me to do, and that is the point. We don't ever follow Jesus in our own strength. We follow Jesus in the strength that God gives to us from his Holy Spirit. That following Jesus isn't about us doing everything in our strength and power to keep all the rules that Jesus gives us. It's trusting Jesus and following him and loving him and wanting to do things his way And then he actually helps us to do that. It's this moment where you come to the end of yourself and you realize it's not actually about me. And it's from that place of brokenness that we expect God to then point his finger and say, see, I knew you didn't have it in you. Let me point out your faults. Let me point out your failures. Let me tell you about your limitation. That's what we expect in that moment. And it's never what happens. That it's in that moment of brokenness that God reaches out his hand, not to point at us, but to embrace us, puts his arm around us. And he says, now you're ready to come and join me and be part of my mission. That's exactly what happens with Peter. And so it comes to that fourth and the final stage where they burn the boats. There it is. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Okay, so to be fair, they didn't burn the boats, but they did leave the boats and they left all the fish that's there, which is amazing to think about. I mean, that's like a little detail in the story. They had the best catch of their lives as professional fishermen, and they didn't take the fish to market and sell them. They just left them there for other people to enjoy. Like, why would you do that? Like, why not at least sell the fish and then go follow Jesus? Like, I mean, this would be like you have the best sale of your career. You close the biggest deal, and then you leave your organization before they issue your commission check to you. Like, why would you do that? Or you have an amazing stock option, and it skyrockets in value, and 3 days before it vests, you walk away and leave all of those funds. Why would you do something like that? Well, it's because it doesn't have any value compared to what you're doing now. See, for Peter, he was like, we don't need the fish and we don't need the resources from the fish because we got the guy who's in charge of all the fish. If we ever need fish, Jesus is going to bring us fish because he's in charge of everything. And when you and I have this moment of this like burn the boat mentality, we start to realize that the boat we lent to Jesus that we began this whole journey with was actually never our boat to begin with. He owns it all. And he just let us borrow the boat that he had given to us. And we start to realize we can trust Jesus for everything. And see, that's so much more helpful for us because when we come to a story like this and we have this image of these disciples and they're just kind of minding their business and Jesus walks up on shore and he says, hey, follow me. And they're like, okay. And they leave everything and they follow him. And that's true. And that's what happened. But there was a journey there of Peter increasing his level of trust in Jesus. And Jesus was so faithful to him, proved who he was. And that's why Peter was able to leave everything and follow him. You know, it's kind of like a guy who came to church and he walked in and he heard about Jesus and he heard about forgiveness and he heard about salvation and he said yes to Jesus. And then over the next couple of years, he thought, you know, Jesus says some things about giving. And so I probably should give a little. And so whenever he came to church, he threw a 20 in the offering plate, kind of his tip to God for saving it. And then he kind of got convicted about that. He was like, man, I give bigger tips to the wait staff than I do to God who gave me salvation. And so then he decided that probably what he should do is maybe once a quarter, he should give a couple $100 to the church. You know, he actually called it his dues to God. He joked with some of his buddies. He's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like my golf club dues. You know, it's my God dues. And then he went on a short-term mission trip. And there overseas, he sat across the table with a family who was living in abject poverty, who was loving Jesus and trusting him with everything. And he was so impressed by their level of generosity and the joy that they had in their lives and the low level of anxiety that they lived with, that it was really challenging for him. And then he came back, and shortly after coming back, he had a crisis at work. He had taken a massive risk, and it looked like it was going to fail, and he was going to lose everything. And it broke him. And he went on his knees. And Jesus miraculously intervened. I mean, it was miracle after miracle, and it came through on the other side. And at the end of it, he realized that God owns it all anyway. And so now here's what he does. Every year he sets down and he takes a pretty significant portion of his income, like 10% of it. And he decides in advance, this is going to be God's. And I'm going to give it to ministries that proclaim gospel and that help serve poor people. And that's what he does every year. But he doesn't view it as giving away 10% of his income. He views it as he gets to live on 90% that God gave him, and he just gives God back 10. In fact, years ago, he would have told you that the thing that kept him from coming to church is he thought the church just wanted his money. And now he realizes Jesus never wanted his money. Jesus wanted his heart. And he has so much less anxiety now about his finances, even though he's giving more away than he ever thought he would. See, Jesus says to Peter, don't be afraid. You and I have so many fears about following Jesus that it's going to lower our quality of life and it's going to make things worse for us. And what we fail to realize is that Jesus is for us and he gives us his spirit and he calls us to follow him because it's what we need most. And all of the true joy, the true contentment, the true happiness, the new perspective on life that we have only comes from following Jesus. So you and I don't need to be afraid about following Jesus completely. It's actually the step to living a life full of abundance and full of joy. So where are you? Are you in a spot where there's something in your life where you need to let Jesus borrow your boat? You need to listen to the words of Jesus? You need to hear what he has to say about money or about relationships or about anger or about lust or about lying? Or about your sarcasm, or about your attitude towards your in-laws, or your relationship with your parents? Do you need to listen to what Jesus has to say? And then are you at a spot where you now need to do something that Jesus says to do? Are you at a because you say so moment? Have you experienced doing something Jesus' way? And have you come to the spot where you're at the end of yourself and you've experienced that moment of being broken? Because if you are, and when you get to that moment, now you're at that point where you're ready to burn the boats and follow Jesus completely because you realize this is a far better way to live. So wherever it is in your life that Jesus is inviting you to follow him completely, I want to invite you to take that step. And as you take those steps in following Jesus completely and you notice that you're taking those steps, you notice that you're intentionally listening to him. You notice that you're doing something because he says so. You notice that you're experiencing a sense of brokenness and you notice that then all you want to do is do it Jesus' way. Those are all signs. They're all ships that you are growing spiritually. That's shift number one. And I pray that you will be looking for that shift in your life so that you can continue to get your spiritual life in gear. Let me pray for us. Father, we're grateful for the story and, Father, for your invitation to follow you. Lord, you don't invite us to follow you because you know we're going to be good at it. You invite us to follow you because you love us. Father, you have so much in store for us, so much that you want to show us, so much that you want to share with us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us through your Spirit, that we may live obedient to you, and that we would follow you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.